Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning we want to answer the question, can we understand the Bible alike? A lot of times you'll be talking with individuals about trying to have a Bible study with them and they will say that there's no sense doing that because no one can really understand the Bible alike. Many people are convinced that they cannot understand the Bible, especially understand it alike, and they appeal to all of the different religions and denominations that are out there and all the different confusing beliefs and contradictory beliefs. And they say that clearly that is caused by people not understanding the Bible alike. And there certainly is religious division and confusion, and there certainly is contrary teaching on the Word of God. All kinds of groups teaching contradictory things, and they all claim to follow the Bible. So there is that problem and there is that issue, but the fault is not with the Bible. We can understand the Bible, number one, and we can understand it alike. And number three, we must understand it alike. And so there is that admonition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was division in the church at Corinth. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he writes there about that division. He says that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There are divisions among you. Schisms, verse 10. And so the solution was to be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so Paul believed that they could be of the same mind and the same judgment, and that they could hear his word or read that letter to 1 Corinthians and understand it alike and do what he said. You know, if we take the attitude that we cannot understand the Bible alike, there are going to be some dangerous consequences as a result. First of all, people will remain ignorant of God's word and will, and they will be lost. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writes about what is going to happen when the Lord returns and he finds those who have not obeyed his gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with angels of his power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. So some believed and some did not obey the gospel, and they're going to receive the vengeance of the Lord. And so we say, well, I just can't understand it, and so I'm not going to take time to read it and do what it says. There's no way. And so people are going to be lost. Number two, people who do know some of God's word are going to be vulnerable to false teaching, and they're going to be led astray. There was even false teaching in the first century while the New Testament was being written. And so we have to know our Bibles. We have to understand what God's Word says so that we're not led astray by those who are teaching false things. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26, these things I have written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. And chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world. And then later in verse 6, he says, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error by listening to the apostles. In 2 John and verse 7, for many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things whereof we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. And so they must stay within the teaching of Christ, and they could understand that. But there are those who were going outside of that and teaching other things that were false. And number three, there will be the consequence of division. There will be endless division and confusion and problems when people do not understand the Bible and understand it alike. And so, can we understand the Bible or not? We're going to turn to the Word of God and find that we can indeed understand the Bible and understand it alike. And we're going to begin by looking at why we can understand the Bible. We can understand the Bible because of the nature of God, the nature of the Bible itself, and the nature of mankind. And so let's look at that, and then we're going to look at some essentials to properly understanding the Word of God. Friend, don't just believe up front that there's just no way you can read and understand your Bible. You can, and you must. But if we just resign at the beginning that there's no way to understand it, then we're going to cause problems in our lives. And so we can understand the Bible. First of all, we can understand the Bible because of the nature of God. God Himself is such that He can reveal Himself in a way that people can understand it. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in Him. God is perfect. He's not going to reveal Himself in a way that cannot be understood. His word is tried and tested and proved and true. And so He has the ability to reveal Himself in a way that can be understood. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. God made us. He knows what we need. He knows how we act. He knows what we can understand and can't understand. And so He gives us those things and reveals Himself in such a way that can be understood. There are some things that God has not revealed about Himself, but those things that He has revealed, we can know and understand them. Moses writes in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There would be no way to do it unless we could understand it. And so God has revealed them to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, to us and our children. Yes, even children can understand the Word of God. And so the nature of God lets us know that He can reveal His Word and will in such a way that it can be understood. And in the final days, the days that we're living in, He has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Number two, we can understand the Bible because of the nature of the Bible itself, the nature of Scripture. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, every Scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished thoroughly unto every good work. And so, Scripture is profitable for teaching. Well, we can't use it to teach if we can't understand it. For reproof, for correction, for instruction. We can't do these things unless we can understand the Word of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, the first few verses, he writes about God's world. The heavens declare the glory of God. But then in the latter part of Psalm 19, he writes about God's Word. So in Psalm 19, we have both God's world and God's Word. And with regard to God's Word or God's law, the psalmist writes, Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. You see, even those individuals can understand. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, we can be enlightened. We can understand. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And so clearly we can understand the Word of God because we can keep it. We can be warned by it. We desire to read it. None of these things would happen if we cannot understand the Word of God. And so the very nature of Scripture itself is such that we can understand it. And then number three, we can understand the Bible because of the nature of mankind. We have been made in the image of God. God created man in His own image, Genesis 1:27. We have the ability to reason and to think and to have emotion and to respond and to know and to contemplate. You see, Jehovah commanded the man to that he could eat of all the trees, but of one tree he could not eat of in the garden in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. So when God made that command and when He communicated that to Adam and Eve, they could understand that. And Jehovah God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Did Adam understand those words? Obviously he did. He and Eve understood those words, and we know that later in chapter 3 when Eve repeats the command back to the devil, and she says to the devil, we're not supposed to eat of this tree. She understood that command. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? That's what the devil said. God hath said, you shall not eat. Well, they clearly understood that, and the devil understood that they understood that. So God speaks to man and has created man in a way that he can understand his speaking. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, God has created man. Paul tells the Athenians that they should seek God if haply they might feel after him and find him. We can understand the Bible because of our own very nature. When Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, and the common people heard him gladly. You see, they clearly understood what he said and they accepted that. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, when Jesus goes back into heaven right before doing that, he gives his apostles the great commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, clearly, the whole creation can understand the gospel that is preached. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and when this epistle, that would be the letter of Colossians, when this epistle hath been read among you, cause that it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also read the epistle from Laodicea. And so, we clearly can read and understand. First century Christians could even share the different letters of Paul and understand what he wrote. When John recorded the book of Revelation and sent it to the seven churches of Asia, each letter to the seven churches of Asia finishes this way or closes this way. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Clearly, they can hear and understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking and revealing to the apostles and what they are writing down. In Nehemiah chapter 8, when the Jews were gathered together to hear the word of the law, Ezra read the word of the law to them, and he read therein, in the presence of the men and the women and of those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3. When you turn to that great psalm, Psalm 119, the psalm regarding the law of the Lord, consider what the psalmist writes about God's word in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In 130, verse 130, the opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 169, Let my cry come near before thee, O Jehovah. Give me understanding according to thy word. And so the psalmist believed that he could understand the word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, in Jesus explaining the parable of the sower, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And earlier in that chapter, Jesus told his apostles that some would not understand. And so what is the difference there? Well, when you turn over to Matthew chapter 13, you find that Jesus was talking about those who purposely would harden their heart. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, the people's heart is waxed or grown gross or dull. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. Some people don't want to be healed. They don't want to turn. They don't want to open their eyes and ears, and so they do not understand with their heart. But down in verse 23, the seed that is sown on the good and honest heart, they hear and understand it. And so our heart has to be right if we want to understand God's word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, hear and understand. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, let him that readeth understand. When Luke wrote his gospel, he wrote to Theophilus that you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. We can understand and know for certain what we are reading. John writes in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus therefore said to the Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can know the truth. We can understand the truth. And so God reveals himself in a way that can be understood. And the way that happens is, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that God uses the Holy Spirit to reveal his mind to the apostles, and then the apostles write those things down. And so we have the very mind of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul writes, for who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? You don't know what I'm thinking unless I express that to you. I don't know what you're thinking unless you express that to me. We can't read people's minds. And so Paul says, even so, the things of God none knoweth save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Which things also we, Paul is talking about himself and the other apostles, which we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. And so, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, got the mind of God. The mind of God is revealed on the pages of the New Testament teaching by the pen of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. So that's how that works. God reveals his mind to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. They were guided into all the truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13, the apostles were guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. And that is the process by which we have the very mind of God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 13, for we write no other things unto you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand unto the end. And this is a very important New Testament passage. If you'll turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, Paul writes there, how that by revelation was made known unto me, and we just read about that, the revelation of God's mind through the Holy Spirit, how that revelation was made unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. You can perceive, know, contemplate, understand my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, wherefore be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul would not command to know what the will of the Lord is or understand what the will of the Lord is unless it was possible to do that. Paul is not going to tell people, understand what the will of the Lord is if it's impossible to understand what the will of the Lord is. And so by the very fact that we have these commands to read and understand, it lets us know that that is a possibility. And so if people are not understanding the Bible or understanding it alike, it's not because they cannot do it, it's because of some other problem. And we're actually going to have part two of this lesson, if you'll tune in next Sunday morning, part two of this lesson will actually talk about different reasons why people do not understand the Bible. And we'll be looking at that at that time. But in this lesson, we're focusing on the fact that we can actually understand the Bible and understand it alike. Now, before we close our lesson this morning, I'd like to look at some essentials to understanding God's Word. What are some things that are absolutely essential? We saw earlier in the parable of the sower that some people refuse to hear and understand the Word of God, Matthew 13, 15. But then others, those who are of a good and honest heart, Matthew 13, 23, they hear the Word and understand it. So some people have the right kinds of things in their heart and mind, and some people don't. So what are some essentials to hearing and understanding the Word of God? Well, number one, in John chapter 17, Jesus said we have to have a desire and a will to know and understand the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 17, if any man willeth or desireth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. So it begins with a willpower and a desire. I really want to know what God says. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. We have to have a desire and a will to know the teaching of Christ. And that is the beginning point. If we don't will or desire to understand, that is critical and crucial, we're not going to understand the Word of God. And really that's true with anything in life. If we don't desire to understand our schoolwork, we're going to get bad grades. If we don't desire to understand what we're told at work, we're going to lose our job. If we don't will and desire to understand a lot of things that we read, we're just not going to benefit from those things. And so we have to have a desire. That's the starting point. Number two, we have to be willing and desirous to hear all things, not just some things. We don't just read a small portion of Scripture and then just give up and say, well, I can't understand it. All of it works together. All of it is a singular Bible story that works together. And so we must listen to everything that Jesus says. And so Peter is preaching in Jerusalem, Acts 3:22, and he says, Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, likened unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So we have to listen to everything that Jesus says. We have to read all of God's Word, put it all together. And we take passages here and we put them together with teachings in other places, and it helps us to understand the Word of God. Some people will just read a small portion of Scripture and take it out of context, and they won't understand it properly. Number three, we must be willing to be guided if we don't know some things. We might be reading a portion of Scripture and we don't understand those things. We need to go to someone who understands those things. And so when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, but he did not fully understand that. Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except someone shall guide me?" And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. And Philip, of course, began reading in that scripture and preaching Jesus to him. And so we can get some guidance from those who have studied the Word of God, and some have studied and preached and taught the Word of God just about all of their life, and they have accurately handled those things, and we can get help from them. Number four, we need to have a readiness of mind. We need to have a desire to want to know and learn, and we need to open up our Bibles and search the Scriptures, and we can know. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul was preaching in Berea, we're told that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Notice, first of all, they kept an open mind. They had readiness of mind. They wanted to know the truth. They wanted to learn the truth. And then it says they received the word with all readiness of mind. Number two, examining the Scriptures. They had an open Bible, as it were. At that time, it wouldn't be a Bible like we have, but scrolls, Old Testament Scripture written on scrolls. But they examined those things. They opened those things up. They looked at it carefully to make sure what Paul was saying was true. And that's a great habit for us today. A lot of people will not open their Bibles when people are preaching. And people preach all kinds of things that are erroneous, and the crowd doesn't even check it out. They just trust what the person is saying is true, but they don't examine the Scriptures to see if these things are so. And then number three, it says daily. Each day they did that. So they kept an open mind, received the word with all readiness of mind, an open Bible, examining the Scriptures, and an open schedule. In other words, they did that daily. They took time to see if what Paul was saying was true. What was the result? Verse 12, many of them therefore believed, also of the Greek women of honorable state and of men, not a few. And so they believed and obeyed the Word of God because of open minds, open Bibles, and open schedules to have time to study and learn and understand the Word of God. And then we need to have diligent attention. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:13, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says that we are to study or show yourselves approved, rightly dividing or accurately handling the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. So we've got to be careful. Careful in our reading, careful in our study of God's Word. And then with time and experience, we begin to learn and know and grow in the Word of God. Hebrews 5:14 and 2 Peter 1:5, we are to add to our faith knowledge. Well, friends, we can understand God's Word, and we can understand it alike. Do you know that God expects you to understand His Word in order to be saved and be right in Christ? And so I hope that this lesson has helped us this morning. Let's consider the importance of understanding the Word of God. Jesus said, "He that readeth, let him understand." And so let's work toward that. And if I can help you to read and study and understand and obey the Word of God, let's get together and have a Bible study. Let's talk about those things that are important so that we can be right with God when He comes again. Tune in next Sunday morning and we'll have part two of this lesson. We'll look at why it is that many people do not understand the Bible. But thank you for your time and attention this morning, and have a good day.